This morning, I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel. If you don't have your Bibles or your phone, it'll be up here on. By the way, if you have cell phones, if you would just turn those on to vibrate, that'd be great. While you're doing that, over last month I was praying right around in this area right here, and the Lord spoke to me and He asked me a question and He said, "Jimmy, when was the last time that you were truly desperate for me?" Now, God doesn't seem to ask questions that He doesn't already know the answers to. When He asked Adam and Eve as He came down in the cool of the day, as He usually does, He would walk around with Adam and Eve, and they would communicate with one another, and they would have communion with one another. I mean, how awesome is that, right? God comes down from heaven and he walks beside Adam, and I can see Him right in the middle, talking with them, encouraging them. And one day, God came down as He usually does in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve were not in their usual spot. And God said, "Adam, where are you?" See, God knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly what they had done. And so when God spoke to me and asked me that question, I had two choices. I could lie to Him, just say, "Oh, I'm desperate for you right now, God. I'm just crazy about you, you know." Or I could say, "It's been a while." See, God knows our heart, and He knows our needs, and He knows our passion, and He knows our lukewarmness, and He knows our hurts. He knows our frustrations and He knows our longings way before we even say anything. He knows what we are in need of. And so when the Lord asked me that, He brought me to 1 Samuel. And it's a story about the birth of Samuel. But I want to hone in on the story of his mother, Hannah. If you'll look with me, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2. All right? Starting with verse 2. Elkanah had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty in Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the days came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and the other to her sons and daughters. But Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Now I want you to focus on that. The Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on for year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why do you eat? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In the bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. And he said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I have poured out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant as a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked for. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face no longer was downcast. Early the next morning, they arose, worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their house, to Ramah. Elkanah laid with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Father, I come before you this morning, and I thank you so much for your presence in this place. And I ask you, Lord, to anoint my words that it may pierce the hearts of each and every person in this room. I ask, Father, that you would call us to desperation this morning, that, Lord, mere religion, mere protocol would not suffice any longer, that we would long for your face more than we would long for anything else. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So here is a story of a desperate woman calling out to an almighty God. Have you ever been a place where everyone was celebrating but you? If you have, you're not alone, because Hannah was right in the spot. Hannah found herself in that very place. Look at, in this story, you see how desperate she was, how she called out before the Lord. 1 Samuel 1 introduces us to a desperate woman. The Bible tells us that she was one of two wives of Elkanah. The second wife was named Peninnah, and she had three children. And God had blessed her with children, and Hannah had none. But Peninnah irritated her all the time about her barrenness, about how she wasn't bearing children, how she had children. I mean, how wicked, right? How devious and wicked is that? The Bible, in those times, in biblical times, women, the glory of women was their ability to bear children. And whenever that didn't happen, oftentimes the people felt that she was cursed. And so she was looked down in the community because she wasn't able to bear children, and she was not favored among her with her husband. And so how would it feel to be uniquely designed to bear children, knowing that in that culture the pressure is on to have children, and when you don't have children, you're looked down on by the women in town, and if your husband has more than one wife, then they look down upon you as well. And oftentimes the woman is completely rejected by her husband. And so Hannah, you can imagine how desperate Hannah was before God. We also see that in this time was around the time where they were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. And that Feast of Tabernacles was to celebrate God's blessing as God brought the children of Israel out of 40 years of wandering in a dry, desperate place into the promised land. And not only that, but it also celebrated the fact of God's blessing upon the crops. And so there was this huge celebration going on in Shiloh. This is a huge celebration going on of what God has done. And they were eating and drinking and having a good time. They were sacrificing before the Lord in the temple. And it was required that each man of Israel go before the presence of God three times a year. And they did this at Shiloh. And so you can imagine that everybody was converging upon this town called Shiloh. And this town swelled to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And everybody was celebrating. Everybody was having a good time, celebrating that God had brought them out of a dry and weary place for 40 years, aimlessly wandering in the desert, and now going into the promised land and celebrating the blessing of God and the crops and all of these different things. And so it was a celebration. But the only person there that was not celebrating was Hannah. We see here that despite not having any children, though, her husband, Elkanah, loved Hannah and favored her over Peninnah, who had children. Let's look at verse 4. Let's look at this together. So whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed up her womb. So let's get some perspective here, okay? He had brought her to Shiloh. He had brought all of his family there. And there he was wanting to celebrate. Now, it's interesting to note that Elkanah did not despise Hannah, but he favored her. Because the Bible says that he loved her. And that he knew that God had closed up her womb. And so this feast marked this time of blessing, but Hannah couldn't find any blessing anywhere. As a matter of fact, Hannah was desperate. Have you ever been to church this morning? Have you ever been just desperate for God? A desperate for an answer from the Lord? So desperate that you couldn't sleep, you couldn't rest, you couldn't find any peace because you needed an answer from the Lord. When we get like that, it's like Bijou said, sometimes we get despondent. Year after year, Hannah went before the Lord. She was antagonized by this other woman who had children, who had blessing, who had all of these different things, and Hannah had nothing. And we see how her desperation was turning into despondency. And she was crying out to God. And so we see in verse 6 through 8 here how Peninnah was provoking her. Let's look at that. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and she would not eat. See, when you become desperate for the presence of God and the word of the Lord, you can also bet that the devil is going to be just as desperate for you not to receive a word from the Lord. Amen? You take, for instance, Jesus. He was in desperation as well. But see, what happens is the devil will send Peninnahs your way, all right? That rhymes with piranha, right? Piranha. Just to devour what God is trying to speak into your life. And he will bring someone like Peninnah to provoke you to anger, provoke you to despondency, provoke you to disbelief in what the word of the Lord is for your life. There is a word of the Lord for your life, specifically for your life. You are not here by accident, nor were you just by happenstance arrive on the earth. You were divinely placed on this earth for a specific reason. And the devil will come in to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has planted inside of you to establish in your life. Each and every one of you has a specific goal. Each and every one of you has a specific thing that God wants you to do on the face of this earth. Whether it's to renew your vows, whether it's to be a good wife and husband and mother and father, or whether it be to teach or preach or to play or to sing or to teach Bible study in your home or to show compassion or whatever it may be, God has placed you here divinely and specifically. You're not random. You're not some cosmic accident. You have been placed here divinely, specifically for a reason. You see, Whenever I first got saved, I thought that everything was going to be good. Everything was going to be right. I'm okay with God. God has forgiven me, and I'm supposed to, you know, I'm not supposed to have any more trouble, not supposed to deal with sin any longer, not supposed to be tempted any longer because I'm born again. But man, did trouble come my way. You see, we should not think that we should be exempt from trouble as well. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil." Now let me give you some background about this first. Jesus hasn't even launched into his earthly ministry yet. Okay? He hasn't launched into his earthly ministry. But here we see that Jesus is led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. It says, "After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." Can you imagine 40 days, 40 nights without eating? I think that's a little bit of an understatement. I'd be chewing on my leg at this point, all right? "He was hungry. The tempter, the devil, came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, he said, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him on to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' the devil said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Now let me stop right here. The devil is quoting Scripture. The devil is trying to make sense of it all and to make it all seem a whole lot better because it's in the Bible. You see, the devil knows the Word of God too. And sometimes he'll try to trick us and use that very Word of God to distract us, to pervert the truth in our life. But listen to what Jesus said in verse 7. "Jesus answered him and said, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'And this I will give to you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him." And the Bible says that right after that, the very next thing that he did, he went and began to preach the Word of God. He then launched into his ministry. Now we also see that in Luke 39, let's take a look at Luke 39. The devil likes to show up in the most inopportune times in our lives. I'm sorry, that's not right. I don't know what I was thinking. Jesus was tempted in the garden, and he was at the point where his disciples were around him. His disciples were around him, and what happened was he told them, I want to call you away to pray. And he took three of them with him, and he said, stay with me, pray with me. Because this is right before Jesus was about to be arrested and falsely accused and crucified. And Jesus was feeling the weight of his destiny upon his shoulders. And the Bible says that as he was drawn away to pray, the Bible says that he began to sweat and weep. And what happened was is that the Bible calls it, he began to sweat as great drops of blood was pouring off of him. He was in such agony. And the Bible says that Jesus said, Lord, if this is not your will for me, then I don't want to do it. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, every time that Jesus was tempted by the devil, he came back, it is written. It is written. You see, the devil doesn't matter how much knowledge you know about religion. He doesn't care about how much you know about worship. He doesn't care about how many Bible verses you know or how many small group meetings that you've been to or the marriage conference that we got through going through. He doesn't care about any of that. It doesn't move him at all. But what rebukes the devil and causes him to go away is the Word of God. See, Jesus could have just thrown out some eloquent words or his own teaching, but he went to Scripture and he said, "It is written." You see, Hannah, even though she had Peninnah, Jesus has shown here that the devil came in to try to tempt him after 40 days and nights of not eating. 40 days. The very first thing the devil said was, "Hey, turn this rock into a piece of bread and eat. You're hungry, man. I mean, come on, it's been 40 days. Eat." Now, I'm sure the devil didn't show up in lightning and he had this horrific mask on with his tail and pitchfork and all these different things. He came in gentle. He came in apathetic. He said, "Jesus," he said, if you are who you say you are, man, get that rock over there and turn it into some bread and eat. You have dark circles around your eyes. You're hungry. Eat." See, the devil's going to come at us, not when we're ready, not when we have sword drawn and shield up. The devil's going to come at us at our weakest. But the Bible says that in our weakness, he is made strong. Praise God. That in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. In our weakness. And you see, he is going to try to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has placed in our life. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, God is looking for someone that is desperate. Not just someone that is desperate, that is just grabbing at straws. But someone that is desperate for the very presence and face of God. Now I want to draw your attention to verse 11 in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to show you, this is something that God dropped in my spirit when I was driving down the road. And this is Hannah. And she said, and she made a vow saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forgive your forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." Notice what Hannah said. Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, "O Lord Almighty." Let me stop right there. Normally, this is the first time that this phrase, "O Lord Almighty," is written in the Word. Normally, it's Lord of Hosts. Lord of Hosts means Lord of Armies, Lord of Many, Lord of Much, Lord over everything. And so this was a generic way of saying Lord, was this Lord of Hosts. This was the protocol. This is what was used when you called upon God. You called him Lord of Hosts. But here, Hannah, in her desperation, protocol would not suffice. She broke off of protocol and she said, "Lord Almighty, hear my prayer. Hear my desperation as I call upon you." Because see, what happens is desperate people don't follow protocol because protocol isn't enough. In other words, religion is not enough. If you're searching after God, religion will leave you empty. Because religion will teach you rules. Religion will teach you regulation. But it will not get you in the presence of Almighty God. Amen? I want to encourage you this morning to seek after God Almighty. The one who made heaven and earth. The one that fashioned you and formed you. The one that created you as you are. Seek after his face. Because When was the last time we were desperate for His presence? When were we more desperate for His presence than we were His blessing? When was the last time we were more desperate for His presence than we were for our healing? When was the last time we were more desperate for His presence than we were for His blessing in our life? More often we come before God with our lists rather than saying, God, I just want You. God, I want You and nothing else will matter. Nothing else will do. I want You. I don't want an imitation of You. I don't want a vision of You. I want Your presence in my life. In the Old Testament, the priest had to go into the tabernacle and had to go into the Holy of Holies, and we could not. But because Jesus died, the Bible says that when He breathed His last, that veil that separated the Holy of Holies from everyone else was ripped from top to bottom. And the reason why that is because now there's no separation between you and the Father, you and the presence of God. The only separation is our willingness to do so. Amen? So I encourage you today to be desperate for the Lord, to cry out for Him. Because whenever He asked me that question, Jimmy, when was the last time? When was the last time you were truly desperate for Me? When was the last time that you just wanted Me? Just wanted Me. It would be like a husband or a wife coming up to her husband and saying, I only want You. No one else will do. No one, I've shopped around all my life and I want You. I want You. I want You in my life forever and ever. And ever. That's why Jesus calls Himself the bridegroom. And He calls the church His bride. Because God, Jesus is the best for His bride. He loves His bride. He died for His bride. And because of that, we know that we can come to the Father. We can call out to Him and say, Father, all I want is You. Because you know what? You know, He knows what we are in need before we asked of it. He knows that you need healing in your body. He knows that you need restoration in your soul. He knows that you're broken. He knows that your marriage is in trouble. He knows that you need a bill to be paid. He knows. But the one thing that He wants us to call out more than anything else in this whole world is His name. Hannah broke protocol. She came before, and you know what? When we break protocol, people will not understand what's going on in our life. They'll misunderstand our desperation. If you notice, and we see in verse 12 that, not verse 12, but we see that in here that Eli, the priest, the man of God, got it wrong as well. He looked at Hannah and said, because the Feast of Tabernacle was going on and people were making merry and all these different things. And Eli looked at her and she was praying and her mouth was moving, but there was nothing coming out. But she was so desperate and he looked at her and said, woman, when will you give up your wine and your beer? Even the preacher got it wrong. There's going to be people that are close to us, even those that are spiritual, that won't understand our desperation sometimes. But we have to press through to the Spirit of God because there's nothing else that will do. There's no other substitute. Jesus came and did it all on the cross. And because of that, I run desperately to Him. I don't run to my wife to find that kind of completion. I don't run to this pulpit to find that kind of completion. I don't run to ministry or to any friend or any family member. I run to my Savior who died for me. Amen? Let's all stand this morning. this morning, I know that there is so many needs in this church, and if we were to name them all, we'd be here all day praying. And you know what? If God ordains that, I'm cool with that. I don't care. But this morning, I tell you what. If you have a need this morning, just raise your hand. You have a need. I need to take care of this need. That's pretty much all of us. I mean, let's just be honest. It's pretty much all of us. But here's the thing. Let's seek the face of God before we ask God to do for us. Let's seek His face first. Amen. Let's be desperate for Him first. This morning, I want to encourage you. These altars are open, and we're going to take a little time this morning, just before the Lord. And just say, Father, I'm here. Even as I'm speaking, if you want to come, come. If you want to come, come. And let's say, Father, this morning, I choose you. I choose you, Lord. I choose all of you. I forsake my wants and my needs. I forsake that prayer request that is so desperately needed at this moment. I call upon your name because you are deserving of my praise. The Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning. I just want you to come. Come this morning. You can sit, kneel, lay, stand, but call upon the name of the Lord this morning as we seek His face. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we call out upon your name, Lord God Almighty. We call upon your name, and Father, we come before you with no requests, no requests. We come just simply to kneel and to honor you and to be in your presence. Father, we declare today that we want you more than we want our prayer requests to be answered. We want you more than we want to be healed. We want you more than we want blessing. We want you more than we need a financial miracle. We want you, Lord, more than we need our marriage healed. We want you, Father. We want you, Lord Jesus. And we call upon your name. And we seek your face, Father. We honor you. We glorify you today. We praise your holy name, Father. Psalms 150 says, praise the Lord, praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in His heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sound of trumpet. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you and we bless you. Today we minister unto you. We throw our hands up in surrender, and we acknowledge the God of heaven, the God of hosts, the God Almighty. Father, we break protocol this morning. We stand before your presence grateful, with a grateful heart, with thanksgiving in our heart, with gladness in our spirit. We rejoice, not because we are suffering, not because we are in need, Lord, but we rejoice simply because of what you have done, Lord Jesus. Your death and your resurrection marked for me a new day and a new beginning. A forgiveness of my sins that I could never do. And because of that, I will be thankful for the rest of my life. This morning, there's been such a tender spirit of God here in this place. And I just encourage you, close your eyes and just allow the Lord to speak to you. Maybe this morning, you never heard the voice of God ever in your life. And today, you can hear God's voice. You can hear His prompting. I encourage you just to be still for a minute as we honor the Lord this morning. Psalms 142 says this, verse 5, it says, I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am desperate in need. Rescue me from those who persecute me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Did you hear that? Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who persecute me. Set me free from my prison, O God. Father, I thank you for a release this morning. I thank you, Father, as Chris and Sarah renewed their vows, we too renew our vows to you today, God. And Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. In complete humility, we rest our hope upon you. I release my hands, Lord. I remove them from control of my life. Father, I renounce sin today. I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. If there are those this morning who have been feeling heaps and heaps of condemnation, know that all that can stop today by your confession in Jesus Christ. That He is here today to renew, to restore, and to set free those who are desperate, those who are in prison. He is here. And so, Lord, we desperately come before you. And Father, we've tried religion. We've tried faithfully going to church. We've tried Bible study. We've tried all the religious things that we know to do, and still somehow feeling completely empty. And God, today we know the only answer for that, the only answer for that is simply you. And so, Lord, we cast away everything that we formerly knew. We cast all that aside so that you would fill us. The Bible says those that are hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. He doesn't make you work for it. There's not enough penance. There's not enough prayers that you can pray. He just said, if you're hungry, I'll fill you. If you're thirsty, I'll quench your thirst. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. And so, Lord, we call upon your name this morning. And we ask that you would fill us. We ask that you would satisfy our thirsty soul. We long and hunger for you, dear God, the Lord God Almighty. We call upon your name. We break protocol this morning. And Lord, if I'm misunderstood, then let it be said that I'm just a misfit and misunderstood.
because I want to know you more than anything else in my entire life. I want to know you. I want to know you, Lord. And so, Father, I ask, Lord, that as we close up this service, God, that you would make us new, that you would renew that hunger and thirsting for righteousness again. God, we would be so desperate for your presence that nothing else would satisfy but your presence in our lives, healing us, bringing us salvation and deliverance from ourselves, Lord. So we cry out to you, Lord Almighty, and we say thank you for your salvation. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for renewing my soul, because you are the source and strength of my salvation. You are the delight of my heart. You are the joy of my life. And I celebrate you unashamedly this morning. Father, I want to be as David did as he marched the Ark of the Covenant back into the city of David. And as he did, he sang and he leapt and he danced and he took off his princely robe and he broke protocol and he worshiped you unashamedly in the streets. Oh God, I want to be in that place and I want to celebrate your holy name. May you get the glory out of my life. May you be the joy of my salvation. May you be the hope of my future. May you be the water that satisfies my thirsty soul. May you be the peace in my mind. May you be the lamp before my feet. May you be the wisdom of my spirit, God. May you be the healing of my broken spirit. May the joy of the Lord be my source and my strength forever. May that be the declaration of my heart and the joy of my spirit. I love you, Lord, and I praise your holy name, and I rejoice in your great presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.